Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we introduce you to the president of Tour Edge, Tim Clark, and spend the hour with the industry veteran. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour's guest has been on our list for a while. This interview about to take place has been a long time coming. Why? Because the guy that has been in the industry for so long with one company decided, nah, I don't want to be a president there. Let me go work someplace else. And no, let me come back as president somewhere else. It is an astounding life journey for our hour's guest. And it starts with my longtime friend, John Claffey, who is now an industry veteran that I've known for many years. And he's worked with John Hoflick, outstanding designer, and Nakent and Sonartech and all these companies along the way. And a number of years he ended up at Tour Edge working for David Glaude, who started the company back in 1986. If you listen to this show, Clavy's been on a number of times. David's been on as well. But somewhere along the line, Clavy got super energized and excited again because he said, hey, we have a new president coming in. And I said, Claffey, what do you mean? David's going to give up the power? You let somebody come in and run the ship? And he said, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I promise it's going to happen. But you're going to have to wait. I want him to get some experience knowing how we run things and everything else before you have him on the show. Well, he got installed towards the end of last year. So we've waited a little bit longer than we wanted to, but we've made this happen now. Now, the irony will happen later in the show when I tell you this is back-to-back former presidents of Wilson Golf that I've had on the show. And I'll introduce Tim Clark here in just a second. I just did. So, hey, Tim, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for making time. You're a busy man. You're making things happen in Chicagoland. It is crazy what's going on at Tour Edge.
Yeah, no, it's great. Thank you for taking time to have me on your show. And like I said, it's always a privilege to talk to people that are talking to consumers in golf. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You started your career at Wilson Golf, I believe, back in 1997. I started this show a year later in 1998. So I have seen so many things like you in this crazy golf industry. And as a matter of fact, I was at the U.S. Open that Ernie Els won at Congressional back in 97. And full circle, I saw Ernie this past week at the Senior PGA Championship, also played at Congressional. And it was great to talk with him a little bit and such. And I also saw a guy named Patrick Harrington. And Harrington should have won that tournament, but Cabrera snuck up and Patty couldn't close the door or whatever. But the one reason I bring up Patty is because he's carrying a Wilson golf bag still. And Wilson has had decades-long history in this game and successes and failures and such. And I still revert back to my fat shaft irons every once in a while.
There, well, yeah, Pat, I will say Padraig Harrington, he's a personal friend today, obviously no longer business colleagues with my new role, but what a class act. And it was really a privilege to work with him on the Wilson staff for all those years I was there. And more importantly, it was just awesome to be with him during his three major run back with Wilson Golf. So we've had a lot of great things going on together, but also super excited about what's happening at Tour Edge and the fact that, you know, spent this year's, you know, week at Augusta with Mr. Langer, who was actually with Wilson when I joined Wilson. And so it was kind of a reunion of sorts. And again, just another world-class human being that happens to be an exceptional golfer.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to see him at the par three shootout or the championship, or if, you know, all the family coming by, and it's great. It's an extension of the golfers. You don't get to see much of any place else from that standpoint. He's a true champion and a guy who's a staffer for Tour Edge, and I want to circle back to that in a second. But you joined Wilson in around 1997. You become president in 2006, and you stay there for almost two decades, and then you leave the building.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was, you know what, life is full of adventure, and it was a privilege to get that job at Wilson Golf. Obviously, we were in a very difficult situation. It was very much a turnaround. The parent company kind of had enough of the loss making by golf, and they basically kind of put down the ultimatum that we needed to see some drastic improvements fairly quickly, or they were going to shut the division down. So making it almost two decades as president, we did turn it around. We actually moved it from, you know, a serious losing business, basically losing, you know, almost $22 million a year when I got the opportunity, and revenues only around, you know, $87 million. And we, you know, when I left it, we were a profitable brand, and our revenues were well over $150 million globally. So I look back at that adventure and very proud of what was accomplished. And but more importantly, I always say this, you know, sometimes you get more accolades than you deserve. I had an amazing team, and super excited about the team I have at Tour Edge. And I, you know, we're already off to an amazing start. I joined Tour Edge on August 10th of this year. And, August 10th of 24. So this is kind of the fiscal we're running, and we're having an outstanding year, actually. When I look at Callaway and Titleist reports, that first quarter reports, we are up double digits, and things are going very well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they are. But after you leave Wilson, you get plucked by Perry Ellis. And It's on the apparel side, and I know in talking to you previously how you feel about apparel, but your closet must have gotten very full, because you're there representing the brands of Nicklaus and PGA Tour and Callaway and the original Penguin, who I actually have a pair of pants still in my closet, which is pretty crazy.
And I'll tell you that. Yeah, that Penguin stuff's really good. I'll be honest, it's really good.
Yeah, I had no idea, but it's good golf apparel for sure. But then you get selected to lead Tour Edge, and I mentioned before David Glad started this baby back in 1986, and he's held very, very tight to the baby even as it grew up and went to high school and into the college, and graduated with a graduate degree. So for you to come in, this is a big thing, not just for you and Tour Edge, but also for David.
Yeah, I think it's a celebration of what he built. At the end of the day, you know, he's built a product company that has a stellar reputation of making world-class performing products and golf equipment. I think what I look at, you know, my value proposition is what we're going to do as a group is we're going to turn this into a global brand. And that's a little different approach probably than maybe David has been running for 40 years. But you can't be a global brand if you don't have the success that David has created at Tour Edge Golf. So the nice thing, as I said earlier, you know, when I got the Wilson job, that was 100% a business turnaround. And if you read a lot of the past articles, it talked about me being a turnaround specialist is kind of what I got labeled in the golf space, because we did go from loss making to profitability. And this at Tour Edge is just so refreshing, because it's not a turnaround. This is an acceleration. And we're, you know, like I said, we're up double digits here in 25 when everybody's pretty much sitting flat. So I think, you know, the combination of David's brilliance on obviously the build, the foundation he's built, plus obviously the key component is he makes world-class products. So my job really is to kind of help with the front of glass, help with the brand story. We've brought some people in that I've worked with in my past lives, and they have definitely been instrumental. Alessandra Ladd, who is obviously VP of brand, has done an amazing job with our social media, our website, some of the things that needed upgrading. And then obviously Duffy Callahan has joined. He was 12 years on. He was my manager at Wilson on the tour. So he's actually working with Champions Tour players, but more importantly, he's going to also help us. You know, we love the fact we got a stake in the ground with the Champions Tour. We don't look to lose that, but we also want to get younger and cooler. That's just the way golf needs to be.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the Champions Tour, because that was one of the brilliant moves made by Tour Edge, going out there to the named players. I was just at the Senior PGA Championship, as I mentioned, last week, and you name them, they were there. There were a bunch of people that weren't there, but you know, when Ernie Els is there and other players of that ilk, I mean, it's a big deal. And so that made the most sense, because the PGA Tour has gotten so expensive, both for the tournament advertisers or sponsors, and then for the companies trying to put their names on the hats or the bags or what have you.
Yeah, and I think what you look at in any business is, I always start with, what is your return on investment, right? And there's no doubt that David did pick a sweet spot with Champions Tour, where we could step in. We've got probably, in the last tournament, I believe, when I looked at Daryl, we had almost 35 pieces of equipment in play on that tour. Obviously, we don't have that many ambassadors, but the point being is that we have tour-proven equipment that's being played by many players on the Champions Tour. And to me, that's kind of the gateway for us to continue to build on that tour, but more importantly, stretch our position a little bit and maybe not move down to the PGA Tour because of expense, but it definitely opens up things such as Korn Ferry accomplished amateurs, because you can walk in and you can talk about Scotty McCarron, you can talk about Bernard Langer, and you can talk about the success they've had with the products in play.
Well, I tell you, as we're talking to Tim Clark, the president of Tour Edge, on Tee It Up with Keith Jones, that's exactly right. I over the years, I've been at, besides PGA Tour events, I've gone to the Nationwide Tour and the Web.com Tour and all the precursors to the Korn Ferry. And these guys out there are really struggling. These are the guys that manufacturers should go to and help out with whatever it is. But you said it's return on value, whatever. You just got to be like a Mark McCormick and pick the guys that you know are going to be really good, and then they turn into an Arnold Palmer, or they turn into somebody that's really a competitive player that wins on the PGA Tour. Then you've got them in, and they're very loyal that way because they remember who helped get them there.
And that's well said. Now, and you mentioned Padraig Harrington earlier. We Wilson and Padraig's relationship was second to none. It's probably one of the longest continued relationships in golf today. And a lot of that was, when he first came out, he didn't have a stellar, he was a Walker Cupper, don't get me wrong, he was an accomplished player, but even the scouting reports on him as he turned pro on the European Tour was that, if he works hard, he'll be a good journeyman player on the European Tour. And just make no mistake, when he won three majors in 18 months, he had more money coming at him from other companies than Wilson could have ever afforded. And that loyalty factor was there because we kind of were with him on the entire journey. And I think that's the same opportunity we have with Tour Edge as we look forward to the next 3 to 5 to 10 years, is we have a chance to kind of identify some players, maintain our position on that Champions Tour as a proven equipment player in that marketplace. But, if it's good enough for the Champions Tour, it's more than likely good enough for anybody. And that's kind of the message we're working through, and we're going to continue to lean into that and push on that.
Well, I will say, from a spectator standpoint, that there were families of all ages out at the Senior PGA Championship. The dads and the granddads were saying, "Hey, look, there's Ernie, or look, there's Maria, and there's Jimenez, and there's this guy, and there's that guy." So it was great to see that. And of course, the golf one is always top notch. These guys, it doesn't matter the age. Watching Ernie, who supposedly 55, I think, as we did the math, just bombing the drives, just bombing the drives on the driving range, which I love to hang out the most in, because you get to talk with the guys and reminisce about and tell stories back and forth and stuff, and they're much, much more relaxed and stuff. As our guest is this hour, Tim Clark, not the golfer, this is the industry veteran who is now leading the way with Tour Edge, that little engine that could, coming out of Batavia, Illinois, outside of Chicago. With Tim, we'll be back after this break. We'll be right back. And we're back with Tim Clark. I have to say he is the president of Tour Edge because I'm sure, like my name occasionally gets associated with other people as well. Is that Tim Clark the golfer? Well, this Tim Clark is definitely a golfer. Don't get that wrong. But how many times have you heard that over the years, and how annoying can it get?
Oh, you know, it's been actually kind of entertaining. I obviously met the other Tim Clark a few times in my career, and I always said it'd probably just be easier if I just signed him so I wouldn't have to deal with it. We could both be on the same team. But probably the funniest experience I had with that one, actually, Keith, was at Augusta. I didn't realize it. I think it was a Thursday round, number of years ago, and this woman was kind of standing by me, and she kept looking at my badge, you know, and I'm like, okay, this is weird, right? And she goes, and she leans over, she goes, are you really Tim Clark? And I'm like, I'm with Wilson Golf. And she goes, my husband's Tim Clark. So it was actually Tim Clark's wife. So it was just one of those funny stories. But yes, Tim Clark is an amazing player, always admired his game. And I always thought it would have been a great thing for us to, I always thought two things. It'd be great for us to team up with him because it would have made my life easier. And then I always figured any tour player with the last name Wilson, while I was at Wilson, we should have signed. So those are my two simple things that I never executed.
There's always down. No, even the great Ely Callaway had those kind of speed bumps. So,
yes.
Oh, indeed. Who was actually a guest on this show. So, I'm fortunate. I've been around that long. As the great Jesse Ortiz said a number of years ago when he was getting ready to retire from the golf industry, I'm a dinosaur now. So,
yeah. Well, you know, you said we're about the same year into the space. So, it is funny to be what I guess you call a senior veteran of the space compared to when I first got into the space. I was kind of a young, probably not super bright guy that was just doing it my way. So a little more experience, a little more knowledge, and obviously I think that'll lead to a lot quicker success because I don't have to make the same mistakes I made early on.
Touche. Well said as a great businessman there, Tim. I have to say, but I do tell stories of how good the industry was even back, well, I guess it's a couple decades ago, but back in 2003 when Spalding and Etonic and Ben Hogan, it was called Best, and Top Flight were all owned by the same company, and they threw this block party, and they closed all the restaurants down just for those invitees, and you can eat, drink all the way long, as far as you wanted to walk, and all that. It was just amazing how much money was spent at one time in this industry. But you know, the smoke and mirrors time is still around, but it's dissipated some. Now you really have to. Consumers have really gotten a lot smarter, and that's no knock on those in the past because the technology and the quality across the board wasn't ever there. Fast forward now where people are right on what you're doing as a company, and you have to have a performance type of equipment for them to understand that this is worth spending my hard earned cash on.
That's well said, Keith. I think, you know, my message always has been two simple things. Is number one, everything's about innovation, right? Everything. I mean, you got to keep pushing. And we got, you know, Matt Neely, our head equipment engineer that works closely with David. He's a very sharp young guy. But you got to keep pushing. You got to keep looking. You got to keep turning the rocks over. That's always number one, innovation, because we do know from data points that 80% of golf rounds are played at the same golf course, Keith. So, you know, if I give you a driver and you clear the pond with your old driver and I let you demo my driver and all of a sudden you're in the middle of the pond and it doesn't clear, you know, my brand will be dead to you for probably 10 years before you even put me on the list to test it again. So innovation is one. And then obviously performance is always there. But the thing about performance is I always try to stress it's about continuous improvement, right? You got to get better every iteration that you're doing. And whether you're, you know, Callaway, you're Wilson, you're Tour Edge, that's kind of the magic formula. And then the thing people lose sight of is brands, great brands are really, and you mentioned Eli and some of the other legends in this space and Jesse and great brands are built by people, you know. I mean, the, when I say people, you know, the David Glaws of the world who put their neck on the line and put a stake in the ground And then you put, you know, more talent in the into the building, and then it accelerates. And to me, that's the excitement I have about Tour Edge. It's about what this thing can look like in the next 7 to 10 years. And I personally think that the upside for Tour Edge Golf is fantastic. I think it's a brighter, and this is me speaking because I was there, it's a brighter opportunity maybe even than Wilson has, because Wilson's a sporting goods company in the golf space.
Man, you think David picked the right guy? Yeah, it's Tim Clark. We'll be back after this bottom of the hour break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga la Gunga.
And we're back to start the second half of the show, spending it with Tour Edge President Tim Clark. That's Clark with an E for those along playing along at home. I want to make sure you get that right. It's on his business card and such. More than two decades with Wilson Golf. Short period of time, probably about 2.5 months. With Perry Ellis doing apparel. He apparently doesn't like apparel. I don't know. And then back into hard goods.
I got to jump in, Keith. I got to say, Oscar Feldenkrais, that's a family-owned business. That guy, what he has built down there. Perry Ellis is probably the fourth, besides the major apparel guys that are huge globally, that being Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, as far as producing apparel, I would imagine Perry Ellis is probably in the fourth slot. They do, because they have so many brands, as you know. I got there because Oscar and I had met during COVID. Before COVID hit, they were actually – I had been recruited to go there, and I ended up staying put with Wilson. We had some good things going on, and then obviously COVID hit, and we were continuing our success. So that never materialized. But then when he heard I was a free agent, we reconnected. And so I was kind of like, yeah, this would be great. I'd round out my resume, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I know equipment. This would be great. I'll get the apparel. You know, like you said, I was the basically the president of Original Penguin and Callaway. So I worked a lot with Chip Brewer down and his team on the Callaway line. And then Original Penguin was a Perry Ellis owned brand. Now, I actually didn't hate apparel. I just didn't know it. And at this stage in my career, Keith, for me to be an expert in apparel probably would have taken much longer than my working days. So when David reached out, which was bizarre because it came out of the blue, that he was looking to, you know, he wanted to know if there was any interest, the initial call, I was like, wow, that's kind of weird, right? I mean, what are the chances of me finding, you know, David and I did not know each other. We knew each other, but we did not actually have a relationship of any type. So it was out of left field. So when he called and said, hey, I'm looking to do some stuff, would you be interested in talking? I was kind of like, wow, this could be really cool. And, Pat, man, here we are, you know, 10 months later, 15 months later, whatever it is.
Did the host say, hey, that was tongue in cheek for you. It is your first appearance on the show. So, you'll learn the humor of the edgy.
Well, I enjoyed the humor. I knew you were busting my chops, but I did feel like I had to give Perry Ellis is an unbelievable operation. I had to give them their kudos because I did learn a lot working at that operation. They are impressive.
Well, I have to say, as my dear friend John O'Hurley would say, pants, it's the pants. So
the pants, it's the pants. Exactly.
So, and that was—I know that was not a good John O'Hurley. I was not trying to imitate him. I just had to, you know, throw the O'Hurley in there because that's a. That's a classic guy with a classic character and the pants, but everybody needs them. Everybody wears them. No, that is fantastic. And the fact that you got to work with Chip Brewer is kind of full circle as well, because there's a head guy at a company called Callaway.
Yeah. So, and Chip, break down careers, you know, Chip and I, go way back when he was at Adams, actually. And what was very interesting about my tenure at Wilson is our business in Europe was substantially bigger than Adams' business, but, you know, Tip did an amazing job in the United States. And so when you looked at like his iron market share in the U.S., they were like at a 7 and we were at like a 2 when I got the job at Wilson. And but when we went to Europe, we were like a 10 and he was like a 1. So we always got put at the same table. So it was kind of interesting when I got the opportunity to join his team. And I have nothing but respect for Chip Brewer and his career and what he's accomplished. He is a very, 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 very brilliant golf mind. And his success is, you know, just proves it out. But it was a funny story when I actually was flying out there. I was, you know, for the actual sit down meeting, because my boss, Oscar Feldenkrest, CEO of Perry Ellis, he, you know, obviously we're a licensee of Callaway. So he was kind of like, hey, you know, Oscar has his own plane. So we're flying on his plane to Carlsbad, which is was a nice way to travel. David doesn't have a plane, and that was almost a deal breaker for me. I got to be honest, Keith, but yeah. I took it anyway.
I believe but, it. But you know what? What David did? David said, "Hey, Tim, you can come back to Chicagoland
in the winter."
Oh yeah, the winter. Well, okay. So let me tell you, you good Midwesterner, you. So this has been going on for a long time. So it took me decades to come up with this, and I have a lot of friends, including Claffy, in Chicagoland. That live there year round, and it's the United States' third largest city. So New York is 24 hours, you know, all things going on. LA's number two, fun and sun. You get that. Chicago is number three. Now I'm a lifelong Cubs fan because that was my first little league team. Even though I'm an East Coast guy, but Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, all those guys, I can name a lot of guys that played for the Cubbies over the years, right? So I get it. And I know Jim McMahon, my favorite barefoot golfer, you know, on and on. So I have a lot of ties to Chicago. However, I've been there I will not go in the wintertime because if I have to walk at a 45-degree angle to keep from getting blown over, that's a sign, okay? I have been there in the summertime. I've been to Cog Hill. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in my rental car in a parking lot getting some directions, and my windows are down, bright sunny day, and I'm starting to sweat, and I can't figure out why I'm sweating. I'm not moving, I'm not jumping around in the car. Why am I sweating? It's because it's humid in Chicagoland in the summertime as well. So between that and whatever, but the answer to the question of why it's our third largest city population-wise is the brains of the people that live in Chicagoland have not enough non-winter months for their brain to thaw out to say, what the heck am I doing here?
You're absolutely correct.
There you go. It took me many, many years to come up with that, and that's a story I always tell, and it's true. It's absolutely true because we tell no lies on this show.
Well, and Perry Ellis is headquartered in Miami, so put it in perspective.
Well, I can take showers in Miami without even getting into the shower. I was down for two weddings. I was down there for two weddings a year ago, January, and one of them is certainly like that. And then the other one, it rained. So I was getting wet one way or the other. Didn't matter.
Understood.
There you go. But you mentioned earlier in the show that you got double-digit growth. And nobody else is doing that. So not to give all the trade secrets away, though, Tim Clark, how the heck are you guys doing that?
Well, I think first and foremost, like I said, it all starts with products, as I said, and the lineup that we're sitting with the 725 and Exotics, and obviously Exotics being the flagship. And even in my days at Wilson, we always tested Exotics, and it was always impressive how well they played. Right? I mean, I think when you look at why we're up double digits, I think it's a couple things. Number one is, I think, you know, and again, as a team, I think we have great alignment on what our goal is right now. And when I say that, it's like, you know, from David to Claff to Alessandro to myself to the sales team, everyone knows that we are going to accelerate our business. We are going to grow doors, and we're going to do it in a very short window because we already have done all the things right for a number of years, meaning that we have great products, we take care of our customers, we have consumers that are excited about what we're doing and who we are, and we're going to expand on that. So like I was saying earlier, when I got the opportunity at Wilson, it was 100% turnaround. Nobody wanted us. I mean, nobody. I mean, it was terrible. But here at Tour Edge, people are intrigued by what we do. We're kind of like you said, little engine that could. I'd say we're a little bit of an unknown entity, but we keep popping up with great awards. I mean, my Golf Spy, right after I joined the company, I'd love to take credit for it because I am an iron guy by nature. Right as I joined the company, the article came out that we won the My Golf Spy Game Improvement Iron of the Year with the E723. Hence, you know, 3 months later, we're launching this next generation E725, which is a iron that is so powerful and so good looking and so playable that those are the things that give you the opportunity to grow. And then I think what's really amazing is what David has done in the driver space. And, you know, not to go back through my past too much, but, you know, I tried two TV shows to get us some driver business, you know, Driver versus Driver One and Driver versus Driver Two. And, you know, we had celebrities, we had Urlacher, it was Golf Channel aired, and it was an amazing project. But, you know, we sell more drivers at Tour Edge than Wilson ever has sold. And it's kind of, you know, kind of eye opening when you arrive. So the ability to get in to be credible in the drivers is the hardest thing in golf to do. And if you're credible there, it's easier to push on the other products. That's just fact.
All right. So I'm going to tell you a little story about my driving range experience at the senior PGA Championship. And yeah. I'm there watching Ernie, and then out comes Jose Maria Olazabal in shorts, which I've never seen in my life. He's striping his irons, and then Cabrera comes out a little bit later. But there's a guy that's walking with about a handful of shafts in his hand and up and down the driving range. And mm-hmm. I walk over, and I said, actually, there's a bag full of shafts and stuff. And he's talking with Ernie, and they're back and forth. And he's gauging, you know, directly with the player, and the caddies are there as well. And he turns, and we catch eye contact, and it eventually comes over. We have a little chat. And this guy, a hero, is a manufacturer in the U.S. of Newton shafts. And the reason I mentioned that, he was one of my guests on last week, along with Jim Ball, former president of Wilson Golf.
My God, yeah, Jim,
so, good man. Yeah, good man, who's doing Fit America, so I had both those guys on last week. But a key is showing me the shafts. He says, oh, you know, I want to make sure I send you some. He says, you know, he says, it's interchangeable. I say, how are you doing? He's like, you know, they got the key on the bottom and everything else. So I go on the website to do research about that. And, of course, there's Cobra, Ping, Callaway, TaylorMade. But guess who else is there? Tour Edge is there.
Yeah.
So which hey, that means, hey Tim, that's a big deal. I mean, you made it. You're up with the big boys now, which is what David wanted all along.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's a credit to David's vision on product innovation. You know, the one thing, and you know this from your time in golf, you know, and we can go back through the stories. You know, the one I remember was Burroughs Golf with the power hole thing.
And, oh, God.
You know, just, you know, again, walk down memory lane. And for David to be successful in this space for 40 years, and he really has done it through his ability to engineer world-class products. And that's been difference maker. And that's where, you know, Bob Burroughs failed. That's where, you know, quite honestly, that's where, you know, Top Flight failed. And that's why it's a Dick's House brand. That's why Max Fly failed. That's why it's a Dick's House brand. It's because they couldn't sustain the level of innovation to keep the consumer interested. And David has done that on a scale that has allowed him to grow and compete and thrive against the big boys, you know, the Callaways, the TaylorMades, the Pings. And my big message at the office is always like, because sometimes we have some meetings and I'm the new guy, so I'm probably a little disruptive, and that's what I'm here to be. And I'll hear somebody say, well, you know, we're kind of small. And I'm like, guys, stop talking like that. Do you guys understand Ping was once small? They were, you know, they were not the Carson family was not big. Do you realize Eli Callaway was a small company? It was a tiny company at one point. And my point is your mindset has to be about growth and acceleration and winning. And I think the more we instill that into our team, the better and the faster we're going to accelerate in the marketplace, because we don't have a lot of hurdles on our products. They are world class. And I will put our irons and our drivers and our fairway metals against anybody's.
We're talking to Tim Clark, who's the president of Tour Edge, on Teed Up with Keith Jones. And I'll tell you, I've been to the Ping facility. Now, it was a lot of years ago. But when I went out there, they were so nice. It's like walking into somebody's garage with the vices and the shafts and all this stuff. And it was like 10 guys were working in there. Like, this is where the magic happens. What's going on, right? It's, you pull back the curtain, Tim, and it's like, whoa! I didn't need to see that odds without pants on.
Well, I you know, the one thing, and I always like to give full stories. I'm a very transparent guy. I mean, the Carson Manufacturing Company has a huge business in defense and metal support to the government. So the actual Ping Golf Company was really kind of a, if you go back to the history, it really was a kind of a byproduct of what they did with everything else. So It was never really, originally it was not there to be kind of this profit center. Now they've turned it into an amazing brand and an amazing company. And I believe that Tour Edge has every right to play in the same space.
Well, you got to have that mentality. And the people that you have, I mean, David is a multi-decade veteran of the industry, even though he started the way he did. I mentioned Claffey earlier. I've known that guy for 25 plus years. Guy's a marketing genius, in my opinion, and always seems to tap into the oil, you know, buys his plot of land when nobody wants and happens to hit the oil well every time. I don't know what it is about him, but that's the kind of guy that he is. And you have other people as well. And that's what you get from this industry, which is crazy and phenomenal at the same time. It's, and to your point, and kudos to you, not to, that I need to give it to a president of a company, but the fact that you said what you said about, hey, this little company or whatever, they're not. As a matter of fact, you're growing out of a space that I think is going to be filled by my new friend Mike Morgan, who's the president of Northwestern Golf, because he sees that you guys are now premium. You guys went from developmental type things to now you guys are playing with the big boys.
Yeah, we're in the space. Absolutely correct. And like I said, you know, you touched on it, and I just want to reiterate, like, brands are built by people. That I always say that, you know, you can never lose sight of that. Yeah, innovation and this and that. One thing about David Glaude and the Tour Edge operation that I do want to share with your consumers is this operation is world class. I mean, we actually assemble all of our products in the United States, meaning all of our pro line equipment, 525, 725, exotics, or hot launch. We don't bring anything in stock. And the reason for that is because David wants to make sure the swing weights are right when products go out. And if we go back through our history lessons, Keith, one of the biggest downfalls of Nike's entrance into golf equipment was when they made irons, they had no desire to actually do swing weights.
Well, Tim Clark's talking with us. We're heading to our final break, and we'll be back to wrap up the show. Back for our final segment of the show. It's been a pleasure to spend the time with Tim Clark, the president of Tour Edge, who has many stories and apparently will be coming back on the show to tell said stories, whether he's still at the helm of Tour Edge or not, because we love our longtime industry guys. And yes, indeed, I don't think anybody's mentioned Burroughs on this show in decades. That is crazy. That was a crazy story you
that
just pulled
for
out.
You. That was strictly.
Well, you know,
you,
I appreciate it, and I've said this for many, many years, and again, it repeats itself because it's so true. We've had so much product come across our desks over the years,
sure.
Right? And there's been some great product, and it's no longer around because either the company wasn't ready for the lightning in the bottle, or it was mismanaged, or whatever happened. You know, it usually comes down to the people, right? You just like you said all along, it's the people in the industry. And it's a shame. And every once in a while, I'll go to my golf garage and I might come across a bald eagle ball or something. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember those guys. And, you know, so long ago, don't remember what year it was or what have you. But, it's this, the product comes and goes. But you've got it. And this is one of the reasons I've always had a great respect for David Glad, is because just what you're talking about. And the progression, because we were never sure what tour age was going to be for the longest time. And then somebody started getting a vision, and the vision got bigger, and it continues to grow. And then they bring on John Claffey, and they bring on other people, and then they finally bring on Tim Clark with decades experience in the golf industry at a big company named Wilson that has been around since dirt, has almost been gone a few times, but still is, is on Harrington's bag and still is in play around the world. So from that standpoint, there are certain companies that can survive. The only reason Nike survived, Nike Golf, as long as it did, was because Nike, the parent company, had such deep pockets. I mean, it's the same way with apparel. We're talking about that. Tiger Woods had an apparel line, and that thing basically went out of business three times. But it survived because Nike was pumping money into it, so it could stay around, that type of thing. And now, in essence, it is gone as well. So,
yeah, and I always like this guy. I'm a pretty simple minded guy, and I the biggest thing is longevity in golf is definitely a privilege, and you have to earn it. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the business side, you're on the equipment side, you're on the media side, your reputation will supersede your career, right? If you're going to be around a long time, you better do the right things. And I think that's a credit to what David has done, meaning that, he has definitely had the vision to continue to push his products to a higher level. And now, as we have discussed since I've joined the company, now he's at a point where he's looking at this thing about, well, hey, what can this be when we grow up? And I think, that's kind of my wheelhouse, is to help him carve that vision of what a world-class global brand looks like. And I, fortunately I've been there and done it before. So, we're going to work together, and obviously it's his company. He built it. But I think that between him and myself and Claffey and the rest of the team and the ops team and Alessandro Ladd, who's joined us, I think, like I said, if I was betting on a brand to accelerate, I'd definitely be putting a lot of money on the Tour Edge opportunities.
Well, I don't know if you got any stock from David there, Tim, but I don't know. Maybe he will be smart and not take it public like Ely did with Callaway, and then it became a hot mess. But in the last minute or so, since before we wrap up, I did circle back to this this lifetime warranty on the clubs.
Yep. Yes, it's amazing.
I mean, so break it down for people.
So if you buy a Tour Edge product from an authorized golf professional partner or an off-course specialty shop or from touredge.com, that product comes with a lifetime warranty. So if something happens to that product, whether it be a driver, and what's crazy is that's whether it be a driver, whether it be a junior set, whether it be a package set for adults, we stand behind that product. So if it is broke and damaged through normal play, you call our 800 line. We send you a ticket to ship it to us. Our warranty team will evaluate it. And if it, if you beat it on the concrete and it was outside of the normal realm of golf, we probably might have to deny those. But my point is, if it's damaged during regular course of use, whether it's a year old, 15 years old, we will replace it at no charge. And to me, that really intrigued me, because coming from inside the industry, I honestly didn't know that we had that, or that TourEdge actually offered that.
So says the president of TourEdge, Tim Clark. But we're just out of time. Thanks to Tim for coming on. We'll talk to him again soon. But get out there and practice your game. Practice, practice. Take your game to the next level. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.